How's it going, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen here with you, joined by guest James Harding, NHL.com fantasy correspondent. What's up, buddy?
What is going on, boys? Pretty exciting day of action yesterday, huh?
Oh, baby. James, thanks for joining. And look, you start talking, and right away my finger goes up, ready to interrupt you. Don't even give you a chance to say anything. Welcome aboard, buddy.
It's great to be here. Great to be back with you guys. Always a pleasure.
So the nightcap last night had to have been one of the best games of the entire postseason so far between the Avalanche, who were fighting for their lives to stay alive in the series, not necessarily facing elimination, but you're not probably winning that series down 3-0. So the Avs came back with a flurry late in the third period after blowing a multi-goal lead. They have that vintage, typical Colorado Avalanche of the regular season onslaught where they throw three goals at your face and finish you off. So like, that's something we've come to know of the Avs, and it was good to see it materialize because like, they were on the brink essentially, right, James?
You know, when Dallas came back and they took the lead with, I think it was about 9 or 10 minutes left, you know, you thought, all right, this is it. They're done. They're spent. They don't have the horses to get it there. And then all of a sudden, they just absolutely found that other gear that we know that they have. And they just took it over, and, you know, they ran away with it down those last 10 minutes of the stretch. It really showed something about the resiliency that we know that this team has. And they finally showed it, and they finally, you know, got over the hump and you know, stole a game from Dallas, who had already stolen a couple of games from them.
If you're not aware, I'm going to make you aware. Not only did they win the game, they won the game by more than a goal. They won on the puck line, and a nice little value play on the puck line at plus 200 for the Colorado Avalanche. So once Dallas takes the lead 4-3, if you have the puck line, you start waving goodbye to that bet. You start saying to yourself, this bet is in the toilet. Take the betting slip and throw it into the fireplace and let it go up in flames. And that just goes to show you how quick the strike was by the Avalanche. Boom, McKinnon to Rantanen, goal there, boom, goal here, boom, boom, that 6-4, game over, wrap it up. We got a series 2-1.
And that top line has been sensational through three games of this series. I mean, McKinnon's up to 20 points on the postseason, but Landeskog is better than a point per game. I think now Rantanen is third, tied for third in scoring with Miro Heiskanen. So one is McKinnon, two is Elias Pettersson. So, like, the Avs are littered among the scoring leaders. It's been mostly the top line, but even Nazem Kadri, he had the tipping goal for the go-ahead. He also had an assist, both coming at even strength. And that was something that I mentioned in the previous shows, that they needed more than just that power play one performance from Nazem Kadri, and they got it in this big game on the ropes. Like you said, James, when they fell behind, it was like kind of felt like game two all over again, where they blew the lead, things were starting to slip away, but big credit to Bednar and their top dogs because they really came back with a vengeance there.
Yeah, that play that Matt Nieto had where he broke up the pass in the neutral zone and then McKinnon took it, and the wherewithal of Rantanen in that situation to sneak through the two defensemen because he knew that they were going to collapse on McKinnon, and McKinnon just sauces that pass over, and what a shot. I mean, that there was no chance that Anton Khudobin was going to stop that shot that tied the game at 4 with about 10 minutes left. But just the wherewithal of Rantanen to get himself in that position to give McKinnon the opportunity to get him the puck, the speed game that the Avalanche are able to play finally caught up with Dallas a little bit. But I think, and this is going to sound wrong, but I think that, you know, Colorado played a hybrid style of their game and playing down to the game that the Stars play. And I'm not trying to say that they played down to the Stars, but the Stars play a slower, more, you know, defensive system, and they hit you with the opportunities. And Colorado kind of played a little bit to that, and they played a little bit to the more run and gun that we're used to seeing with them. And I think if we can get more of a hybrid combination of that for the rest of the series, Colorado is still into it. But if they have to fully play down to that system where Dallas controls the tempo, which I fully expect Dallas to come out and try and really, you know, harp on in the next game, Colorado's in trouble because I don't think they're built right now to play that style of game.
Yeah, hey, I was going to spin it forward here and say I'm still very concerned about Colorado for a number of reasons, and the injury to Zadorov last night, the injuries to their back end. We all know about Eric Johnson. Is he coming back? I am still concerned about the Avalanche. They've made it a series. Thank the Lord they made it a series, because now I think we're going to get six or seven. And I think now as we go forward and we look at these other series, they're all set up for a nice little game six, game seven action, which is great. But I think Dallas is still the better team right now, just based off of the fact they have the healthy bodies. I love the defensemen, the skilled defensemen. And I think Colorado, they saved their season, but they looked out of gas at the end of that game. When it was 4-3 Dallas, they just looked out of gas. They found a couple goals late, you know, from their star players. But I'm still concerned about the Avalanche moving forward here.
Yeah, and, you know, we're looking at it from the perspective of people that picked Colorado to win the series. You know, like we were expecting a bounce back. It came. That said, if you're looking at it from the other side, someone who maybe picked Dallas or is supporting Dallas, you could say, to play devil's advocate here, you could say that, like, Dallas, I mean, it took so much out of the tank of Colorado just to win this one game. They had to have, you know, a near miraculous third period. They had to have, you know, withstand that blow from the Stars. I mean, Khudobin has been good enough so far. Francouz, like you mentioned, Bob, was like, he passed the test in this game barely. But yeah, I think that, like,
barely.
It worries me that Colorado had to empty the tank this much just to win one game. When you look at the scope of picking them to win the series, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. And I would say, like Bob mentioned, the injury to Zadorov and whether or not Eric Johnston comes back, like these are key injuries to these guys.
Bowen Byram.
I agree with that. I think they should give the kid a shot.
Byram. Put him in.
I love it.
At this point, what do you have to lose? Because, you know, you're down bodies. You need something that's going to kind of help spark it. And at this point, put him in and see what happens. He either falls flat and the team loses, or he plays amazing and the team, you know, picks it back up. But I would absolutely give the kid a shot.
And another goal from Gurianov, Bobby. I mean, that guy is starting to put together this one-timer highlight reel that's like,
hey,
he has his spot on the side. You know, it's not Ovechkin, but if you look at somebody, you know, up and coming around the league who could become kind of that power play marksman, I mean, he's starting to inch into the conversation, right?
Daddy Denis Gurianov, my guy, the big Daddy Denis Gurianov, Daddy G. Okay, I said it how many months ago? I don't want to tap myself on the back anymore with Gurianov. I was laughed at. Rob laughed at me. James laughed at me.
I never
Petey
laughed at you.
At me. You all laughed at me. Now look at this guy. He's leading the playoffs. He was at one point. I don't know if he still is. He scored a goal last night. Is he leading the playoffs in all of goals? Is he the leading goal scorer in the playoffs?
He's not leading them in goals. I think that's Bo Horvat right now, but he's second with seven, and he definitely leads the NHL.
Canadian team.
Goals per 60. Goals per 60.
Goals per
60. That means that, like, Rick Bonus, based on that, should be playing him more than 13, 14, 15, 16 minutes a game. I know he played 16 last night.
I know.
Like, maybe I'd like to see Gurianov play, like, 17, 18 minutes. Give him a whirl.
Yeah,
give him a little bit more, for sure.
Yeah, get him some more minutes. We've had a couple people on Twitter hit us up and be like, listen, look at Gurianov's minutes. We need to get him some more minutes. Back to Bowen Byram real quick. All right, we're all talking about this kid like he's going to, you know, he's an option. He is definitely an option. All right, we really don't know much about him other than he's a highly touted prospect. I talked to my pal Mike Morial and Adam Kimmelman, draft class. All right, they'll say the same things the scouts have said about him. He's a top-end prospect. Is it time to bring him on board and get him into the mix? Do you have any options when Zadorov is hurt, when Eric Johnson is hurt? I mean, I'd love to see the kid get an opportunity. I think we all would here.
I mean, absolutely. He's got 120 points in his last two junior seasons in playing in the WHL, which is known as a little bit more of a physical defensive league. Especially, we know a lot of the offensive defensemen that come out of that league have a tendency to succeed in the NHL level. So I would say, why not give him the shot? You know, to take take a chance while you have, you know, the injuries and the reasoning and the excuse to kind of put him in.
I mean, and let's be clear, he's an offensive defenseman, especially if he was just going to come right into the mix. And he's not like the gigantic body that Zadorov is or physical presence that he and Eric Johnson are on right. both ends. And with the hitting, I mean, tons of hits in that game for Colorado last night. Big discrepancy compared to Dallas. But, yeah, I think Byram would come in if he did at any point in the series – and he would try to lend a helping hand to get that Avalanche transition back in order. Like, I know you were talking about playing the hybrid, but yeah, Dallas can't contain the Avalanche offense if it's firing on all cylinders. So, you know, maybe that would give them a chance to try to crack that code and, you know, get back to their offensive form over a consistent basis over multiple games, which hasn't happened here.
Yeah, and that's really what Colorado needs, is they need a track beat. And they need to turn these games into absolute just sprints, and they need to wear Dallas down. Dallas has some older veteran players, you know, who aren't going to be able to stick with some of the younger guns that Colorado has. And, you know, that's what Colorado needs to do. They need to turn this game into a track meet and kind of run Dallas into the ground. And they need to start peppering Khudobin with shots. I mean, that's how they have won consistently so far this postseason, just putting up high volume shot totals. And they haven't done that just yet.
So,
and Bobby, I will say one thing. I never laughed at you for Gurionov, but I will make you a deal right now. If the Stars win the Stanley Cup and if Gurionov wins the Conn Smythe, I will buy you a Denis Gurionov jersey.
Oh, well, listen, I mean, that, a lot has to happen. I feel like everyone should be buying a jersey from me, a DG Daddy Gurionov jersey, based on his performance already. But fine, yeah, I'll take it. If he wins the Conn Smythe, forget about it. You guys, no one will ever hear the end of it if he wins the Conn Smythe, okay? It will be mentioned on every single program, even after I leave the National Hockey League, okay? And whoever I'm living with, my wife-to-be, she'll be hearing about it every single day as well. I won't stop talking about it if he wins the Conn Smythe.
Well, hey, I mean, if anybody was going to say Dallas was a value bet to win the whole thing, you probably would have pinned the Conn Smythe on Ben Bishop, right? Like, just by default, like, he probably would have gotten them there. But, hey, I mean, he led them in goals in the regular season, and if they are really going to make a run at this thing, that award is going to be up for grabs. Ben Bishop hasn't played in weeks now.
Yeah, I'm not counting on Benjamin Bishop to come back and be healthy right now. Listen, we're in the second round. Khudobin has been the starter every single game. Who knows what's going to happen with Benjamin Bishop? But yes, if Dallas makes a run here and Gurionov still, you know, puts up the numbers he's putting up, he's got a shot here. He's got a shot here at a Conn Smythe. And if you're holding a ticket for the Dallas Stars to win the West, it's going to be difficult because you're going to have to play Vegas likely. But hey, if you're in that series, you got an opportunity.
And, I mean, Vegas can't look ahead either right now after what happened the other night with Vancouver. So, yeah, it's nice to see each of these series, like, in good shape right now, either tied 1-1 or even the Avalanche are back in the series. Let's go to Bishop's old team, another puck line winner from last night, the Tampa Bay Lightning. What a performance by them on the second of a back-to-back, totally opening up the scoring.
Zippity day, zippity doo da. Goal here, goal there. Series over.
It sure feels like it, honestly. I mean, I was a little worried after game one. I don't want to jump the gun here, but I was worried about the Bolts after game one. You know, the late start and everything, but they were in fine form last night. That's the one. Like, and I was even thinking, remember 2 years ago, the year that the Caps won it all? Like, they played each other in the playoffs, and the Bolts beat the Bruins in 5 games. For some reason, I forgot about that. But, like, don't underestimate the power of the Tampa Bay Lightning to finish this thing off soon. And that's what we saw a glimpse of last night.
Yeah, I think the image that we have in our heads right now of the Tampa Bay Lightning is that series last year against Columbus, where, you know, they were the best team in the world, and Columbus comes in and, you know, they have Tampa has that awesome first period, and then Columbus shuts them down the rest of the series. I think that had that game in game one going another 3 to 5 minutes, Tampa Bay probably would have come back and you know, forced overtime and maybe would have won that one, because you could see Boston starting to crack a little bit. But now in games two and especially in game three, we saw, you know, the offense that we know Tampa Bay can be. We saw the team that we know Tampa Bay can be. Andre Vasilevsky is still the best goaltender in the world, so he can still steal you any game whatsoever. But now you're starting to see the depth guys for Tampa Bay start to, you know, produce some offense. We saw it last night. You know, Yanni Gord, Andre Palat, even on the back end, Mikhail Sergachev. You know, these are the guys that they need to step up, because we know that Kucherov and Point and hopefully Tyler Johnson, you know, we saw him take that nasty spill in that fight with Torrey Krug. So I hope everything is okay with that. But we know the big guys are going to step up. It's going to be the depth guys for Tampa Bay that are going to get them there. And they started to show that in games two and three.
Last night, if you watch the game, 7-1, you know, Halak was exposed. I had a feeling that Halak was going to get exposed. He was exposed. Tampa looked better off the back-to-back. Remember this, folks. Game 6 and 7 in this series is back-to-back. Who looked better on the back-to-back? Tampa looked light years better than Boston on the back-to-back. I don't know if that's because of Boston's age. I don't know if it's because of the goaltending situation. But listen, game 6 and 7 back-to-back, I'll give the edge to Tampa in this series just based off of that. They looked so much better on the back-to-back than Boston did.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at what Halak was all season and all of last year. He was a 1B goalie that would trade starts with Tuukka Rask. And Vasilevsky has been a workhorse for years now, ever since Bishop left. So who was more prepared going into the game? By far and away, based on recent history, it was Vasilevsky. And also, to see the Tampa Bay power play come through like that, finally, they hadn't previously scored a power play goal, believe it or not, since the round robin. They didn't score a power play goal in the whole series against Columbus. Then they go 3-for-6. That is like what you're used to seeing when they have Stamkos. So watch out, full steam ahead if they start scoring power play goals.
Yeah, and that's really how teams have been able to slow Tampa Bay down so far in the playoffs, is keeping them 5-on-5, because we know that, you know, even if they just get that one power play goal, that team can really start to find it and they can really, you know, start to beat you. And you saw that last night. But their 5-on-5 play has gotten better since the end of the first period in game one of this series, and it's continuing to get better. But especially if that power play can get hot when Boston really has nobody to turn to in net, if Halak starts to, you know, get a little weary like he did last night, Tampa Bay is going to run away with this series.
I just want to know what Tuukka Rask was doing last night. Was Tuukka sitting in front of the TV with, you know, a bucket of ice cream and popcorn? That has to be a lonely feeling. I'm not ragging on him for leaving the team. I don't know what was going on in his personal life. But I can tell you, whatever the circumstances were, for him to leave the bubble and then to see off a back-to-back Halak get his doors blown off, a 7-1 thrashing, Boston loses, I can tell you right now, whatever is going on, Tuukka is not feeling well about it. That has to be a lonely feeling.
I mean, it was, you know, again, like, we respect the decision. That was the one point since he left them where you could look at it and say, if they had Tuukka Rask, they might have been fine. That, we'll just throw that out there. That's all that really needs to be said about it. Tuukka Rask is an elite goalie. Halak is an elite backup. When you have a back-to-back situation like this, that's where that goalie depth pays off. I mean, the guy that they threw into the net, the way that he got shook up by Braden Point on that breakaway.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when the game was really over prior to that. What, it was 3-1, 4-1. You could have still seen maybe the Bruins mount a little comeback. I mean, that was just like, there was no shot, you know?
Oh, he got smoked. Oh, he got absolutely smoked. And I just want to make this clear for anyone, because people will misconstrue what I'm saying. I am not ragging on Tuukka Rask for leaving. Again, I don't know what his situation was, and well within his right to leave. I can just tell you, though, I'm just thinking, you know, from his perspective, when he's sitting there watching this game, it has to be a conflicted feeling. It has to feel as if, wow, if I was on the ice, I could have made a difference here tonight, and my teammates, you know, the players I've been running with for years, wouldn't be dealing with a 7-1 loss right here, and I wouldn't have a kid from the AHL in between the pipes getting smoked by Braden Point.
Definitely. So for Braden Point, I mean, like, I know the depth scores for Tampa Bay, James, they really stepped up in this game. You mentioned a couple of guys, also Killorn, multi-point game. Sergachev maybe had his best game ever as a Lightning yesterday, scoring on the power play to help them get over the hump, and then also had an assist. But yeah, I think that, like, for Tampa Bay, it's crazy how much of the onus has been on Braden Point, and he's delivered at a superstar type level. I mean, he had that great breakaway goal. Then he had the other one where he put it between his legs and flipped it over to Kucherov, who dropped it right between the goalie's legs. I mean, it was like clockwork how those guys were, you know, making moves and putting the puck in the net last night. So Braden Point deserves a ton of credit. I saw the other day, I'm sure it still stands, it was like Point factored into about half of Tampa's goals in the playoffs. They have like probably close to 30 goals, and he's got 15 points. So major props to Braden Point.
Yeah, you know, Braden Point has been their Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, you know, it's really kind of the only, you know, comparable or comparison that you can make right now when you look at, you know, what MacKinnon is. I think MacKinnon factored in on like, you know, five or six of the Avalanche's first seven goals in their series against Dallas. Point right now is just that guy. He is taking control. You know, Kucherov is quietly having a phenomenal postseason, but, you know, I harp on quietly because you're not really hearing about him the way that you do in the regular season when he's one of the three or four best players in the league. He goes a little dark in the postseason. You know, he'll chip in a secondary assist here or, you know, a goal there. Point is really the one that's driving that team right now. And, you know, you have to pay attention to that.
No question. We're going to move forward here. All right. Islanders, Flyers, great game yesterday. Now a back-to-back. They play here on a Thursday, 7 p.m. on NBCSN for a game three. Where are you guys leaning?
Yeah, so I feel really good about the Islanders right now. You know, that game was a lost cause early, game number two. They still came back in the game, forced overtime, incredible goals at the end by their playoff heroes. It was Beauvillier, make it 3-2. Pageau always seems to come through for that team since the trade during this return to play. So, yeah, I feel like even though Philly had a great start to the game, Philly ultimately won it in overtime. I liked what I saw, that resolve from the Islanders. I think the Islanders, like, from someone that picked the Islanders to win the series, I feel extremely confident that they will win the series after seeing the first two games of this series. What do you think, James?
Yeah, you know, it was one bad period. You know, the Islanders had one bad period, and that kind of cost them the game. You know, Semyon Varlamov had one bad period. It's really kind of the only bad period he's had so far this postseason. There's not really much he could have done about that first Kevin Hayes goal. That was an absolute snipe in the top corner. That second Kevin Hayes goal, he has to stop that. You know, he played the pass. He showed Hayes his back and you know, gave Hayes a little bit of the net to work with. You know, he's got to stay on him there on the puck. That third goal by Couturier, you can make the argument that, you know, he should have had that, but that was more of a defensive breakdown by Nick Leddy.
A nice move too by Couturier, for sure.
It was a great move. He powered through him. You know, Leddy tried to body him up, and Couturier just powered through him. But like you said, the Islanders, you know, great resolve to come back. They powered through it. Thomas Greiss, you know, gave them a good shot in the arm to get them back into that game. And then in overtime, it was just, you know, a terrible icing call. They were tired. You know, Philly was able to get fresh guys on the ice. They won the puck on the faceoff, kept everything in the zone, and, you know, just cycled it around. And, you know, Philippe Myers, got that, you know, tip. It hit Anders Lee's stick and, you know, ricocheted off the ice, went over Greiss's glove. So there was nothing he was going to be able to do to stop that one. You know, I picked the Islanders to win this series. I'm still sticking with that, but this series is far from over. I think it's going six or seven games. And the thing is with Philadelphia, you know, the Islanders need to keep the big guys from Philly quiet. And they started to, you know, come around yesterday. Hayes, Couturier, Giroux, Konechny started to play a lot better. If Philly wants to win, they need to get those guys going. And if the Islanders want to win, they need to keep those guys shut down.
Yeah, I think we need to see more from the Flyers in terms of playing more than one period. I mean, like, they almost lost that game. Shockingly, it would have been in regulation. They challenged the goal. It didn't go their way. The Islanders got a power play late in the third. They could have won the game right then and there, which would have been a devastating thing for the Flyers. Luckily, it went to overtime. They had some time to think about it, and they got the Islanders tired, like you said. But you need more consistency throughout the game. You still need more. You saw the big performance from Hayes. You still need a big-time performance from a Giroux, from a Konechny, you know, from a Couturier. We're still waiting on that. But the Flyers are back in the series. Carter Hart looks, you know, he's been more consistent than Varlamov so far. And that gives the Flyers the advantage. Nobody was coming into this series, even though Varlamov was on a shutout streak, saying Varlamov is better than Carter Hart. That's the one thing that the Flyers have in their favor in their side is Carter Hart.
Yeah, you know, when Hart gets hot, you know that he can steal any game. The Islanders have to stay on top of him. They have to keep the pressure up. They have to get the timely goal. And it really just comes down to the defense. The only time that we've really seen the Islanders' defense break down the way that they did in the first period of that game yesterday was the second and third period of game four against the Capitals when they lost the only game in that series. So I think I would expect them to, you know, tighten things up. They may make a lineup change or two to get some guys in there. But, you know, I'm expecting a much different team from the Islanders, a much better and more complete effort from them akin to what they showed in the second and the third period coming out tonight. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how both of these teams respond. But I think this is a very pivotal game in this series for each team. I think whichever team wins this game puts themselves in the driver's seat to control the rest of the series.
How many goals were scored in game two? What was that? Was it seven? Was it a 4-3 final? 4-3 yeah. final, yeah. Correct. 4-3 final. And I was laughed at because I took the over in game one, which was 4-0 and could have easily had 6 goals. 5 goal total here today, right? I know everyone thinks this is a nip-tuck, close, you know, to the vest series, but the first two games have not shown that, and the total is still 5. I will take the over again in this series because at some point, Philly's going to score goals. We saw that in game two. The Islanders have chance after chance after chance on the rush, on the power play, even on 5-on-5. So the chances are going to be there. If you're logically watching the game, you can't sit there and tell me that this is an under series. Every game, we're going to take the under, every single game. I'm not buying it, folks. I'm going to be on the over again today.
I like that strategy for the second of a back-to-back for sure. And for the rest of the series, yeah, I mean, like, look at the Islanders. Like, everybody knocks them for not playing offense, but that's not really true. I mean, they have Anders Lee, who has 5 goals. They have J.G. Pageot, who has 6 goals. And they have Beauvillier, who has 7 goals. And that doesn't even mention their best player, who's Matthew Barzal. So they have a lot of scoring power. They get out in transition. The goal by Beauvillier was like, you know, high event hockey yesterday. So they're playing a little bit more of that. They're not a boring team, really. So, yeah, I think that it's a good strategy for this game. And one note, James, right? The Islanders are one of the best teams in the regular season on the second of a back-to-back this past season. So, like, if you're going with what I was saying, that I liked the way the Islanders were playing despite the loss in the second and third periods, take the Islanders here in game three and play off that trend that the Islanders are so good on back-to-back, second end.
Yeah, and I think the other question that needs to be answered, and it's not just an Islanders question, it's a Flyers question too, is who starts. Both of these teams have very capable starting goaltenders, but they also have very capable backup goaltenders as well. We saw Thomas Greiss come in and play a little over 2 periods yesterday. So you have to assume that Varlamov probably gets the start again tonight. I feel like for confidence issues, you know, one period shouldn't lose him the job. But Greiss came in and he played fantastic. He stopped 20 out of 21 shots. So I could see the Islanders maybe saying to Varlamov, look, you've played a lot. We're going to go with Thomas tonight because, you know, he's fresh and he didn't play that much last night. And then we're going to go right back to you for you know, game four. But on the other side, too, do you know, does Philly start Elliott or do they roll Carter Hart?
James, I have to interrupt you here. I have to interrupt you here. I don't even think it's a conversation. I think you're going to see Carter Hart and you're going to see Varlamov in the net. So I appreciate you playing devil's advocate. I love you. You look a little disappointed right now. You look like Charlie Brown walking away from the baseball field because I'm saying this. Listen, you could be right. I personally think it's a no-brainer. It's Carter Hart. It's Varlamov. I don't know where Pete lies on this. I'm sure the conversations are, you know, they're tossing it around, but this is the playoffs. You ride with your ponies. You know, you ride with your big dogs, and that's Carter Hart and Varlamov right now.
I agree about Carter Hart for sure. The one I get what James is saying about, like, Elliott. Like, look at the first half of the season for the Flyers. It was a lot of up-and-down play, especially for Hart, and Elliott was actually really valuable for them because that team, I think, this past regular season had the most back-to-backs of any team in the league, so, or they were tied for the most. Something like that. So Elliott was a big reason why they were within a point or two of being atop the Metro division
that
at was the like, pause, you know?
Okay, but okay.
It's going to be like, hard to answer your question.
That
it's
going
like to be hard in this next game.
That was like 5 years ago, it seems like.
It
right? So we know the rookie has made the young goalie has made, you know, a lot of progress. We're not talking about October. It's a year ago or so almost. Stop
Fair
it.
Enough.
Carter Hart's the guy. I'm gonna get off this topic. Move. Go ahead, Pete.
So let's talk about Vancouver because they're back in the series. We were talking about maybe sprinkling some value, but we had some differing opinions the other day, and they ended up getting the job done. Pettersson has been producing as well as anybody in the postseason, right up there with McKinnon. And a big wrinkle for them this past game, they got Tyler Toffoli back, and he looked dynamic. He had 3 points, so and that got them off to the hot start in game two.
Yeah, another situation where I was laughed at because I said Vancouver was great value and that it was a hockey game and that a puck bounce here and there could lead to Vancouver winning the game. It wasn't a puck bounce. They completely dominated Vegas on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. They didn't dominate them completely on the ice because Vegas really was pushing in that second period. And that third goal by Pettersson that made it 3-1 was sort of the backbreaker for Vegas. But yeah, I was laughed at. Plus 184 Vancouver Canucks. James, you weren't a part of that laughing fest. Thank God, because if you were, I'd be raking you over the coals right now. But yeah, people laughed at me on that one as well.
I mean, you know, Vancouver, they've been able to respond every step of the way so far this postseason. You know, we saw it early in the play-in round. We saw it when St. Louis won those two games back-to-back. And then, you know, Vancouver stepped up. I mean, this is a young team that's not scared to step up in the moment and, you know, throw it right back at you. They're well coached. They're exciting. And now with Toffoli back, they have that top six at full strength. And, you know, they could be a really dangerous team. They're going to be a hard out for this team. I think the interesting thing about this series so far is neither game has really been close. You know, you had the blowout 5-0 win by Vegas in the first game. And then, you know, Vancouver comes right back and drops a 5 spot on them, and they beat them 5-2. It's going to be interesting to see what this series could be like and what any of these games can be like if they keep it, you know, like a one-goal game for most of the 3 periods.
And let's think back to when the Canucks acquired Toffoli. He had points in 10 points in 10 games after the trade, playing with Pettersson on the top line and also on the first power play. When you see him have a 3-point game, and then on the other line, you see Bo Horvat getting a behind the back perfect pass from Brock Besser. I mean, that has to make you worry because that's why they went ahead and made that trade for a rental in Toffoli, was to boost an already strong top six. The already strong top six beat the defending champs. Now that top six is complete here. So it at least has to worry Vegas, who is the worst 5-on-5 save percentage of any remaining team. So, like, that's where the top six could bite you here.
Yeah, we're all focused on the goaltending situation in Vegas. If you're listening to this podcast, I would advise you to go listen to NHL at the Rink. We had play-by-play man for the Vegas Golden Knights, Dave Gosher, on NHL at the Rink. He broke down Vegas top to bottom, goalie situation, you know, coaching, everything. So go listen to him. Tonight's game is a no-brainer for me. I'd be shocked if Vancouver wins. I really would be. At the same time, the price is incredibly too high. I mean, minus 195 for a playoff hockey game. I don't even know. I wouldn't have the courage to take Vancouver, but I can't lay the price with Vegas. But I think Vegas will win the game. I really, truly believe it.
Hey, James, are you worried at all about, like, so Vancouver, I was saying, has their top guys rolling right now. Horvat's leading the league in goals and Pedersen second in points and, you know, all these guys around them. As for Vegas, it seems like Pacioretty and Stone, like, they're playing well overall, but they're going to need to match that type of scoring. Like, for DFS tonight, are you flocking more to the Vancouver side, or are you, like, going with that tried-and-true Pacioretty-Stone stack or something like that? Are you worried about spending up for those two Vegas guys together?
Yeah, right now I'm very worried about spending up when I can get such great value on some of those guys. You know, you can get great value on a Bo Horvat or a Pearson or a Toffoli. You know, even, you know, stacking them with a high price guy like Pedersen, I would be concerned. And I actually, I think that with the way Vancouver is playing in their top six right now, and there are a lot of questions, like we thought going into this that Vegas was just going to steamroll through everybody, and we've seen them go really hot and really cold. I'm actually going to take Vancouver to win it tonight. I think, you know, they're playing great. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Markstrom, you know, played awesome the other night. And with, you know, Pearson and Toffoli now in that top six and you know, the way that they've been playing on the back end, it wouldn't surprise me. I think there's a lot of question marks right now because you need those guys on Vegas to get hot and stay consistent, and they just really haven't.
James, okay, you have that opinion. But see, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to laugh at you. Okay, I respect differing opinions. That's what I do. So I respect that opinion that Vancouver tonight at that price is a value play. I'm not going to laugh at you like some people would laugh at when you hear a pick like that. Not that I've been laughed at.
I don't think I laughed at you the other day, Bobby. I think Rob was very set in his ways about Vegas winning and making it a shorter series. I think I was like, I was open to your idea.
If I'm
you go
just
back and
around.
Check the tapes. So.
Yeah, I know. We always got to pull the tapes because I'll make up a narrative. I never have a problem making up a narrative, that's for sure.
But one other thing about Vegas's top guys not performing at the highest level imaginable, like Alex Tuch leads them in goals. He plays on the third line. He has 6 goals. That flat out leads the team. So it's a good thing when you're getting that type of production from your third line, but to match an elite offense, an elite power play, that's you're going to need more than that from the top two lines.
All right, so DFS plays tonight. Can you rattle a few off, and then we'll put a bow on it? Why don't we start with Petey? Petey, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll mention a couple of guys. Definitely go back to the well with Toffoli. I was not expecting him to come back the last game. I like the fact that he's with Pedersen at all times, so go with him. Anthony Beauvillier, the guy's clutch. The guy's up-tempo. The guy is exactly what the Islanders needed to come out of their shell offensively. And I keep thinking back to when they first called up Beauvillier a couple of years ago, he was a fixture with Barzal. For whatever reason, he doesn't play with Barzal that much anymore, but it doesn't matter. And maybe it's for the best that he doesn't play with him anymore because he gives them that added dimension on a separate line. So he has been the biggest surprise for me, for the Islanders, pleasant surprise to take them to the next level.
Petey, I like your angle on the Islanders here with the back-to-back scenario. I'm going to take the Islanders again. I think you're going to have a good shot, especially with the empty net scenarios that happen at the end of games, to go over 5 in this game today. Guys, I know you're Islander fans, and James, you'll give us your DFS picks right now, but don't you have to sort of like tip your cap to Garth Snow here? I mean, he brought in a lot of these players. I mean, I know Lou Lamoriello gets the credit for the finishing touches, but, you know, Beauvillier is Garth Snow's guy. Barzal is Garth Snow's guy. I mean, you got to give credit to Garth a little bit, right, James?
Nelson and Bailey, right? The list goes on.
Do we give credit to Garth Snow for Beauvillier, Barzal, and Jordan Eberle, or do we give that credit to Peter Chiarelli? But you know, I agree. I mean, they've all, you know, panned out incredibly well. You know, he's wheel and deal. I think you need to give credit more to Garth and his staff over the years for finding absolute gems in, you know, like the third and fourth round. Adam Pellich, who's arguably, you know, the most underrated defensive defenseman in the NHL. Devon Taves, who's, you know, slowly becoming one of the better puck movers, you know, under the age of 26 in the NHL. So, you know, on defense, I mean, he's found some hidden gems for sure that are contributing massively to this team right now.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, Trotz has rounded it out. I mean, remember the year before Trotz came in, they were like one of the highest scoring offenses and one of the, they allowed the most goals in the entire league. So it was a train wreck. It was the same type of players, but it was like they didn't have that basis of their defense to, you know, form a formidable team. But they did have many of these pieces. So Garth was on the right track, but he didn't have the head coach. I mean, he had Jack Capuano there for like 8 years, right? I mean, they probably needed a better coach than that, right, in hindsight.
Yes, he could never get the coach right. Jack Capuano, I don't even know what you have to say about him other than I always loved his hairdo. You know, I always wish I could sport the Jack Capuano hairdo, but I never could pull it off. James, we have to get off of this subject. We have to get to your DFS plays, and then we have to put a bow on it because we are way over the allotted amount of time. People are just – they're not even listening at this point. We're talking into a vacuum.
Yeah, my DFS plays tonight. I love Beauvillier from the Islanders, like Pete said. If I'm you know, not to harp on that, I would probably say JG Pageau if I was going to, you know, throw somebody out there from the Islanders, or Josh Bailey. You know, I definitely would say if I'm looking at Philly, I would pay attention to the goaltending matchup. You know, to see if Elliott goes. Myers has been playing well there as well. And, you know, out west, in the Vegas game tonight against Vancouver. Yeah. I like Pearson. I would say Tyler, you know, Mott is another
okay
gem, right, from Vancouver.
Hidden gem for sure.
And, yeah, you know,
why don't you just list the whole roster? Just list the whole roster, James. Yeah. Just go right down the roster to every player tonight, huh?
Outside the big guys on Vegas, the only one I could really say on defense for a DFS play would be somebody like Schmidt or Martinez.
All right. Very nice.
I like it. So, and then, yeah, I mean, for Vegas, one thing I wanted to just mention before we wrap up the show, for some reason I think they should stick with Leonard here. I don't know how you guys feel about it. If they go to Fleury, it could cause some friction, and Vancouver could, I like Vancouver's chances of winning the game for some reason. It's just my gut. If they start Fleury as opposed to Leonard, I feel like Vegas needs to be patient, stick with Leonard for another game, give him a chance to redeem himself and get this series back on track. So if Leonard starts, go with Vegas. If Fleury starts, go with Vancouver.
I'd go with Leonard. And James, you mentioned in your whole harangue about DFS players about potentially Elliott getting the start over Hart. If Elliott gets the start over Hart tonight in game three, I know we made a wager, a little deal earlier in the show with Daddy Gurionov. If he wins the Conn Smythe, you know, I get a jersey. Let me tell you something. If Brian Elliott starts, you name your price. I will do anything you want. All right, I will get you anything you want if Elliott starts in game three, because I just don't see it happening. And then let's put a bow on it.
I don't know if James wants a Brian Elliott jersey, though, right? I don't think he's wearing that.
Seattle Kraken jersey. That's what okay it's going to be. All right.
Okay, I'll get you a Seattle Kraken jersey. All right, no question. That is
a deal. I want the first one.
Well, I'll have to put a note in to Dave Satriano, who has the connections to get all the Seattle gear. But yes, fine, deal. If Brian Elliott's in net, you will get a Seattle Kraken jersey, and you can let everyone know that old Bob Bender lost the bet and got you the jersey. Put a bow on deal. It, Peter.
Love it. Everything on the line here with Flyers game three and the goalie decision. So James, again, thanks for hopping on, man. Always appreciate it, and great
thanks,
insight,
James.
Man.
Always great to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
So we'll be back with you next time here again for James Harding, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen. Robbie will be back next time here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the games and enjoy the weekend.